We're going to talk about Abraham and Sarah tonight. We're doing a series called Faith Walkers, and tonight we're going to teach about Abraham and Sarah. Most of the ones we've talked about so far, everything that's said about them is contained in one verse, but you're going to notice we're going to read from verse 8 down through verse number 19. And as many times, I may not go back and review all of this, but as many times in the New Testament as Abraham is brought up as an example of faith and faithfulness, then he's deserving of these verses. You'll see as we're reading the phrase by faith three times and then through faith one time. And so there's four very distinct things that happens in Abraham and Sarah's wife that's going to be used as an example as opposed to Abel and Enoch and Noah. So we'll cover probably three of those tonight. We'll see how we do on time and then maybe finish it up next week. And so let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Hebrews chapter number 11, if you look in verse number 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, notice this, not knowing whether he went. Verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promises. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Wherefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Heavenly Father, thank you for these examples of faith. And Lord, each one teaches something important about faith. And Lord, Brother Abraham sure was tested and tried, and Lord, like us, thank you, by the way, Lord, for being transparent about even these great Christians like us. He didn't always get it right, and sometimes he stumbled, and sometimes he fell. But Lord, he got back up, and he never quit believing you. And so, Lord, may we see the faith of Abraham and take courage from this. Be challenged to live by faith. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to go ahead and give you the four points now. So if you want to glance back at verse number 8, we see this: by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, here it is, obeyed and went out not knowing whither he went. Let me give you the first point. It takes faith to follow the will of God when you don't know where it will lead. When you don't know where it will lead. Then in verse 9, by faith he sojourned in a land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob and the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. So number one, it takes faith to follow the will of God when you don't know where it will lead. Number two, it takes faith to stay in the will of God when you're not seeing what you thought you would see. And then number three, we see Sarah mentioned, verse 11, through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Number three, it takes faith to believe the word of God when what God promised seems impossible. Talk about great examples of faith. And then we go to the last one. Think about this. By the way, I'll mention this next week, but I think that Abraham was around 130 to 135 years of age. This is 35. Some people believe Isaac was 33 years of age, and I think they may be very close on that as a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ when he was offered up. But you think by this time, you've proved to God how many times that you'll do what he says, and you think there can't be any more tests, and all of a sudden, at 135 years of age, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promise offered up his only begotten son. Watch this. It takes faith to sacrifice for God something precious in your life. And so we're going to see these four aspects of faith. It takes faith to follow the will of God when you don't know where to lead. It takes faith to stay in the will of God when you're not seeing what you thought you'd see. It takes faith to believe the word of God when what God promised seems impossible. And it takes faith to sacrifice for God something precious and needful in your life. So let's take them one at a time. We'll see how we do in time, on time. Let's look at that first one. It takes faith to follow the will of God when you don't know where it will lead. There's a couple of phrases in verse 8 that I think is important. It says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called out, called to go out, called to go out. Then that last phrase, not knowing whether he went. Now, young people, listen, there are two great decisions that should be made as early in your life as possible, okay? Number one is to give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, to receive Jesus as your personal Savior. Boy, don't put that off. Just as soon as you understand that you're a sinner, and as soon as you understand that that there's a penalty on sin and that Jesus loved you and died for your sins and was buried and rose again. I mean, the first opportunity where you feel conviction of the Spirit, the drawing of the Father, and have a clear understanding of the gospel and you hear God say, come, don't hesitate. Don't put it off. Get saved. Okay. Give your heart to Christ. Watch this. But here's a second decision that I think ought to follow soon after, and that's this, to give your life to Christ. Now think about this. The first decision guarantees that you now know 100% sure your eternal destination. But let me read this. The second decision guarantees that you will now be 100% unsure concerning your earthly destinations. Think about that. When you get saved and receive Christ, now you've got it settled. I know where I'm going for all eternity. But one of the things that prevents us from wanting to make that second decision is, folks, it's hard to let go of the control of our own life. And when we come to Christ, and young people, trust him with all of your life. Trust him with all of your life. I've heard the testimony from many an adult that said, I wish I'd given my life to the Lord earlier. I've never heard somebody get up and testify and say, I wish I'd have held back my life a little bit longer before I gave it to Christ. And you know what? Don't live with those regrets, okay? As soon as the Lord deals with you, okay, when you came to Christ, you received eternal life. That was you receiving a gift. When you come back to God, you take your life and present it back to him, a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. And by the way, which is your reasonable service, okay? And so that second decision guarantees that, all right, but Pastor, if I make that trip to an altar and I settle this thing once for all, and I say, Lord, listen to me, my life is yours and it's in your control, and wherever you lead, I'll go. Preacher, man alive, what's going to happen? I'll tell you what's going to happen. The most exciting, incredible life, better than anything you could have come up with, better than anything you could have dreamed of. Listen, God's will is 100% infinitely better than our will and our wisdom when it comes to dealing with our life. Listen, I believe it, that this second decision puts your earthly destinations, the direction of your life, completely in God's hands. It's an agreement to follow the Lord's leading wherever that may take you. Listen, watch this, without knowing in advance where that will be. Now think about that. This takes faith. Abraham answered the call of God to go out into a place, and then that last phrase, not knowing whether he went. Now, folks, listen to me. I think when I was young, what I wanted to do is I wanted God to show me the whole path before I decided whether I wanted to take it. You know, Psalms 119:105 kind of bothered me because it said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Well, I didn't want a lamp that just shows me the next couple steps. I wanted this high-powered beam of light that I could show from where I stood as a young person all the way to the end of my life and see where God's will was and then see if I wanted to sign up for that. It doesn't work that way. It just doesn't work that way. But I'm going to tell you something. Now that I've lived my Christian life a while, I don't want that high-powered beam of light. You know what? I'm more than happy just for the will of God to unfold in my life one step at a time. You know, I just want to know tomorrow, what, Lord, what do you want me to do? And then, you know what? Let me get through tomorrow. And then the next day I'll say, Lord, what do you want me to do? I'm more than willing to sign up for this thing one day at a time. Wherever he leads, I'll go. You know, we again, think about that. The songwriters, I've been pointing back to the old hymns. I think they're so thoughtful and thought-provoking. And you can tell that there was an anointing and an understanding of the word of God, an understanding of the will of God. You know, I'll go where you want me to go. It may not be on the mountain's height or over the stormy sea. It may not be at the battle's front. My Lord will have need of me. But if by a still small voice he calls to paths I do not know, what's the answer? I'll answer, dear Lord, with my hand in thine. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll go where you want me to go, dear Lord, or mountain or plain or sea. I'll say what you want me to say, dear Lord. I'll be what you want me to be. Now, folks, listen to me. That ought to be the heartbeat of every single child of God. I don't care what age you are. But young people, listen to me. You will not and you cannot author a better story for your life than the one God's already written in heaven. And just trust him, okay? How about this, where this old song, it may be in the valley where countless dangers hide. It may be in the sunshine that I in peace abide. But this one thing I know, if it be dark or fair, if Jesus is with me, here it is, I'll go anywhere. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. 'Tis heaven to me where I may be if he is there. I count it a privilege here, his cross to bear. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. Let me say this, folks. If we're not careful, what we want to do is we want to plan our life and control our life. And then we want to invite God in when it's convenient for us, as long as he doesn't mess it up or interrupt it too much. That's a pretty sorry way to live your life. You are bought with a price, sir. Ma'am, you are bought with a price when you got saved. It is not your life. Once in a while, I've seen it with my own eyes. I've watched teenagers stomp their foot and look and say to their parents or say to me, well, it's my life. Well, not if you're saved, it's not. You better get in your King James Holy Bible and figure something out. Okay, you are bought with a price. And you're to glorify God with your life. And so, young people, that is your reasonable service. Don't ever forget that. Don't let the devil trick you into it. Abraham's journey of faith started. And this is point one, and we're done. We're going to point two. But Abraham's journey of faith started with a willingness to follow the will of God when he didn't know where it would lead. You talk to the average person, average adult. I'm talking about anybody 40 and older in this room. And you say, when you were a teenager, did you think that you'd be where you're at, attending church where you're at, doing what you're doing, even the job you're doing? You know what, folks? The best thing in the world is just put your hands, life in the hands of God and let him lead you along, okay? Number two, we see verse number 9. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise. Now watch this. God took him to the land of promise as in a strange country. Notice this, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. It takes faith to stay in the will of God when you're not seeing what you thought you would see. Now listen to me. Well, let me properly explain and interpret these verses. Once God took him to the land of promise, watch this, he would not let him put down permanent roots. And he did this for a reason. You see, Abraham's life was going to be an example to all of us. Because you see him going to Sarah and saying, hey, we're going to have to give up our house. We're going to have to give up the property we own. We're going to have to give up our future inheritance, and we're going to a promised land. Well, where is it? I don't know. Well, how will we find out? Well, God said just go, and I expect he'll show us. And I'm looking for a city, though, Sarah. And this city, from what God tells me, it's like no other city because God built it. Really? Yeah. And so we're just going to go until we find that city. So they get on their journey, and then they get to the promised land, the land of promise. But they notice, comma, as in a strange country. Wait a minute, watch this. Dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Watch this. Once God took him to the land of promise, he would not let him put down permanent roots. Now think about that. He was in the right place, but he still lived in a tent. He was in the right place, but he dwelled in tabernacles. He was in the right place, but watched his son and his grandsons live like sojourners instead of permanent residents. Now, God did this to teach him a lesson, by the way, so that we would read his story and remind all of us this great biblical lesson. The world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's golden shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. And so can you see when they get there, he says, Sarah, we're here, the promised land. She's like, oh, that's awesome. When are we going to build a house? I don't know. Let me go check with the Lord. Lord, is it okay? Can we start building our houses? No. I think I just want you to stay in tents for a while. Well, Lord, are we going to have to move again? No, this is it. But I want you to just live in tents for a while. And I'm not sure that's what Abraham pictured or Sarah pictured when they took off. Well, what about our boys? Can they build? No, I want y'all to just live in tents for a while. And then the grandchildren come. Well, Lord, isn't it time? No, I think I just want you to dwell in tabernacles and tents. You see, God was showing where his descendants would one day dwell. But you got to think about all that's going to happen before Israel came back and made that their permanent dwelling. Folks, he brought Abraham by faith to where the promised land was. But let me read to you what was going to happen before Israelites, his descendants, ever set up permanent residence there. You know what? They would one day dwell there. But first, a great-grandson would be sold into slavery by his brothers. Think about that. Abraham will already be gone. And then a famine would come. By the way, Isaac's already gone. Then Joseph would save his family from starvation and then move the whole clan to Egypt. And then 400 years later, now their descendants would be slaves in Egypt. Then God would raise up Moses. And then, 10 plagues later, they escape from Egypt. Then a refusal to enter the promised land. Then 40 more years in the wilderness. And then here comes Joshua leading them into the promised land. Wait a minute. Abraham wasn't told about all of that. Well, Lord, I thought you were taking me to the promised land. I did. Well, why don't you let me build a house? Because I've got a greater plan. But Abraham, you obeyed me, and I wanted you at least be able to live out your life where all of your descendants, remember those ones I promised it'll be like the sands of the sea? I'm going to give them this place, but not yet. And I want you to be a picture of something else. I want you to be a picture of the person that just sojourns in a land and lives in tents and doesn't get too comfortable, because I'm trying to teach something bigger than you, Abraham. I don't believe when Abraham followed God into the land of promise, this is how Abraham saw the whole thing unfolding in his mind. Watch this, folks. A lot of times God gives you a direction. He gives you his will, and he unfolds it a step at a time. And you know, Brother James, you know, God has called you down to Jasper, you know, and you know, you kind of already have in your mind, we can build up mentally what that's going to look like and what that's going to be and what your family's going to look like, what it's going to be. And it's amazing that God can change a lot of things, and everything we thought isn't always the way it's going to be. And you know what? That's okay, because God's got his plan, and it's not always the same as our plan. You know what? He has his timing, but God doesn't operate on our timetable. We envision his will to be, and it's not always what it will turn out to be. You know, Abraham, I think he saw the whole thing unfolding in his mind. I don't know whether God told him, listen, there's a city that's not built with hands, and that's the city that I'm going to bring you to. And maybe that's all he got, and he wasn't understanding when he was told that, that that thing didn't exist on earth. Wonder how many times Abraham went over the top of the next sand dune and looked around for that city. And then, you know, one of these days, or towards the end of his life, don't you think it might have clicked at some point? You know, Sarah, I think I know what God was telling me when he said that there's a city that one of these days we're going to dwell in another promised land. And I didn't see it. I didn't understand it as a young man that that's what he was trying to tell me. Yes, God's keeping his promise, but he's keeping it in a way that I didn't understand, that couldn't see. Folks, listen to me. That's called a faith walk. Okay? God's not going to break down every detail. God's sometimes going to give you generalization. God's just going to kind of push you in a direction. But you know what? The way it unfolds may not be the way you envisioned it unfolding, but hey, God's got a plan. Listen, he doesn't operate on our timetable. What we envision his will to be is not always what it will turn out to be. You know, folks, listen, my job's just to listen. Listen, my job's to listen and to obey and to trust God even when things don't seem to be working out the way, exactly the way I thought they would. Because sometimes God has a bigger plan that I can't see. I couldn't even comprehend it if I could see it. So you know what I do? I just learn to trust him and let it unfold it a day at a time, okay? I mean, can't you see Abraham? Okay, Lord, is this the place? Okay, now what? Just set up camp? Can we start building? No, I just want you to live in tents for a while. There's no way he could have seen the entire will of God unfolding. I mentioned Brother James Young, and we met just the other day, and we were talking a little bit about the future, and he's already been made several trips down there. And you know, the thing that we're praying over right now, and church pray with us, is we're looking, of course, for a meeting place and a location. And he's made several trips down there, and he's made, I don't know how many phone calls. And I think he's even got his brother involved in going down and scouting some things out for him while they were in the hospital and doing some things. And, you know, as he was in my office, and he's talking about, well, this isn't going to work out. We thought this might be, and here's a possibility. And I'm sitting there smiling, and I'm thinking about having these same meetings with Jonathan Reiser not that long ago, you know. And, well, we looked at this piece of property, and we get excited about this one, and then we met with that farmer, and he said, you know, we're not doing that, and this building we thought might be available, but then the Lord closed the door, and I'm sitting there listening to kind of the same thing, and I'm like, Lord, I'm so glad that you're in charge of all of this, you know, because, you know, you say, I told him, I said, well, you know what, the Lord hadn't opened up the specific thing, but here's the exciting thing, he knows exactly where it's at. You say, well, preacher, then should we just stop looking and wait? No, he'll show it to you as we look. Okay, that's what we got to understand. You know, we need to do what he's called us to do. We need to go forward. We need to be looking. Put yourself in the way out there and then let God direct you. I've always said this. If you're already in motion, it's not that hard for God to move you one direction or another. But if you're just sitting still, it's hard to move that person anywhere. So we go forward and he look, but you know what we do? And you know, used to say this to Brother Rice. I said, you know what? Every no puts us one step closer to the yes. Every no puts us one step closer to the yes. And I don't know if that was working after about the 20th no, but he was believing that or not anymore. But you know what? I mean, as Brother Rice, he just kept faith in God. But I saw frustration sometimes. But I think sometimes the difference between a guy that's on the threshold of 60 and a guy that's 35 is I've walked this thing. I've seen this thing. I've watched, hey, come on, I've seen this before. And so many times, you know, I think to myself, well, Lord, when? And he says, when I decide. Well, that's not the answer I want to hear. I want to know when. What, Lord? Well, keep looking. I'll show you. And you know what? I don't know when it occurred to Abraham. Maybe from the beginning he understood that that city was heaven. I don't know. But I'm just also wondering when he was telling the story to Sarah, I don't understand all of it, but he said that there was a city. It's not made by hands. And God rules it. And that's where he's taken us. And I don't know at what point in their life they looked across the table at each other and said, you know what God was talking about? Not what we thought all this time. you know, we were looking around for a city and then we wanted to build something permanent. And God's got a bigger plan. And you know what? God's going to work his plan. Hey, folks, listen to me. It takes faith to follow the will of God when you don't know where to lead. But listen, here's where a lot of Christians mess up. It takes faith to stay in the will of God once you're there when what you're seeing is not what you thought it would be. And that's where you just have to trust the Lord. Let's look at number three. It takes faith to believe the word of God when what God promised seems impossible. We look at Sarah being brought into it. And I want to say this. I'm glad that God didn't just mention Abraham and he saw fit to put Sarah in there. Because I promise you this, with every great man of faith, there's a woman of faith that's walking with that man of faith. And it says, through faith, also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age because she judged him faithful. Watch this. Who had promised? It takes faith to believe the word of God when what God promised gets to the point where it seems it's impossible. Come on. Sarah's now 90 years of age. God comes again and says, hey, I'm still going to give y'all a child. Sarah was in the tent. She laughed. You can throw rocks at her if you want, but I think if I was in her shoes, I'd have probably laughed too. Abraham, if you read the portion of scripture, he's pretty blunt in his conversation with God and the issues that stand between him and the promise. Yeah, I'm going to be a daddy at 100 and Sarah's going to be a mommy at 90. But see, here's the thing, folks. God had promised to give them a son. There came a time when what God had promised, watch this, reached the point where it seemed impossible. Now, that's where your faith is really going to get tested. Think about this. When they reached the point where the promise of God seems impossible, you know what they did? Read the story. When they started getting to that age, they panicked. Come on, I told you they didn't get everything right. And you know what they did? They decided to figure out a way to make God's promise come true by doing it their way. And of course, you know, the story of Hagar and then the birth of Ishmael. And suddenly, Abraham had a son, but it was not the son of God's promise. And God, Abraham even one time said to God, when God came back and said, I'm going to give you and Sarah a son. I told you that from the beginning. He even said, would to God Ishmael would live before thee. It's like, God, don't you understand the promise? It can't come to pass. Now, folks, listen to me. I don't care what God has promised. And I don't care how impossible it seems. If God promised it, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Now, think about that. What happened because of them wanting to figure out a way to make it happen? Well, Ishmael, you know what God said of Ishmael? God said this to his mom. He said, he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man and every man's hand against him. What he ended up doing was creating a son that was going to be the thorn. Him and his descendants would be a thorn in the flesh to Isaac and all of his descendants. And to this day, they are. You realize, folks, that the Muslim religion came from the lineage of Ishmael? Study it out. Okay, that's not my words. That's their words. The descendants of Ishmael have been a thorn in the side of the nation of Israel ever since. So not only did God not say, okay, I'll do it your way, but he said, when you tried to do it without me, you're making it harder on you. But at the same time, it's hard. It's easy to sit here in hindsight and say all of that. But when you're standing there and you feel like God has made a promise, or you look in the Bible and say, God, you promised this. And yet it seems like that it's impossible for it to happen at this point. That's going to be where your faith is really tested. You think about that. See, it's hard when we have God promises something that seems impossible. It's easy. Watch this. It's easy to give up on that promise or maybe to try to make things happen our way instead of God's way. But had Abraham and Sarah been patient, listen, folks, then they would have found out what they eventually did anyway. And that's this. God keeps his promise. And you know what? They held a little baby. Think about that. God gave them the promised son. And all through our lives, I think me and Cheryl had to go through a process of learning this. I think the younger you are, you want to get ahead of God. You know what God wants. You get God's clear leading in something, so you know what he wants. And you You have peace about what he wants you to do next, but sometimes the timing isn't what I want it to be. And my wife, I don't think I've said this maybe a handful of times publicly, but my wife and Brother Lloyd Whittington was in business, so they moved around quite a few different cities as he was transferred within a company, and even within a city, he moved several times. But my wife lived in 21 homes in the first 18 years of her life. I mean, that's like, try to absorb that, okay? And then she married. Then she moved to the dorms as a Bible college student, and every year they moved her from one dorm to another dorm to another dorm to another dorm. We won't even count those. We'll just count that as one, okay? She's always moving in the dormitories, and then she married me. There's stability. Life's about to get real stable, you know. So, and we lived in two places while I was finishing college, two different places. Then we moved down to start the church in Brazil, moved to Sealyville, and we moved to Clay City, and then we moved to the haunted house right there on the interstate. And then Lord changed the direction of our life, and I was going to come here to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And you know what? I was praying at that point, just asking God to open up what he would have us, where he would have us live. And I felt very much, folks, listen to me, and I don't get spooky, but I think if you spend time in the presence of the Lord, it's not a spooky thing for God to give you some clear direction sometime. And I came out of my prayer time as we were praying about moving with a real sense that the Lord wanted me. All that time we rented, okay? And I really felt like, you know what, Lord, if it be possible, it'd be nice for us as we move to Jacksonville, we kind of restart this second phase of our ministry life, if we could buy a place. But folks, listen to me. You go start a church and you work a minimum wage jobs doing it and scraping and scratching and pouring a lot of your money back into the ministry. It's not like we had a chance to stock away a bunch of money, or, you know, I mean, we just didn't. And so with zero savings, we come down here and I told my wife, I think the Lord wants us to buy a place. And I met with bankers and several of them, I think, just thought it was kind of funny that I was planning on doing this. And even that, come on, anybody that's gone through the first time home buying process, it's not an easy situation to go through. But I just kept feeling like the Lord had this, and that but here's the thing. We only had a certain amount of time that I needed to get moved down and close things up there. And so I began to feel the pressure. Now watch this. I'm helping some of you young couples and some of us that aren't so young, because I don't care what age you get. Sometimes that pressure of, well, I need to, come on, man, I got to make this happen. And if we're not careful, you get ahead of the Lord, you know. But there was a couple places we looked at, and I just, you know, this will work. And I became really convinced that, you know, one or two of these was the will of God. And I pursued it hard, and either it fell through or it sold out from underneath us, or the bank wouldn't approve it and we weren't approved for the loan. You got to understand, when you're trying to do this and you're transitioning jobs and they want, you know, all of the stuff they want. So I finally just went to the Lord. I remember a couple of times when things didn't work out where we were trying to buy a place. I'd come home and I'd just frustrated, you know, it's like, you know, Lord, why aren't you letting this work out? And then through a series of events, and actually the Lord allowed my wife to find the place for sale that we eventually bought out here. And, you know, we met with the realtor and we met with the lady that was selling it. We met with the bank, and here we go again. I know what they're all going to say. And you've got to have X amount of dollars, and we don't have X amount of dollars. And we're in that meeting with the realtor and the seller and the banker. And the lady that is selling the property to me said, looks across the table and said, I'd really like your family to get this piece of property. How much money do they need for a down payment? And the banker told him how much. She said, if I took that amount of money and I put it in escrow, and that would be guarantee that you got the down payment. And then when they pay off that amount of the loan, you can release that. Which seller? Please answer this question. Which seller is going to say, let me tie my money up because I'd like this couple to get the place? Right. I haven't heard that story before. I'm not a, genius when it comes to this stuff, but I haven't heard that. And we walked out of there with signed papers and moved into the house that we moved into. And it's kind of like God's like, see? Watch this. See? When you just stop trying to do it. And by the way, that means we stop looking. But I was trying to force things that wasn't God's will. And you know how many times I've driven past those places that I was so determined to try to get and look at them and go, oh, Lord, thank you. Right. And you know how many times I've pulled in my driveway where God did give us a place and say, Lord, I know where this came from. I know who fulfilled a promise that you gave me when I was on my knees praying about moving from Brazil to. And why do you share that story? Because that's just one instance. Folks, listen to me. I've been on the wrong side of it where I've gotten ahead of God. I've gone on the wrong side of it where I forced things that I look back in hindsight and said, you know what? That was Jerry Ross. That wasn't the Lord. But I kind of, after a while, figured it out. And even though, come on, I still deal with some means of impatience sometimes, I have just kind of learned not to worry too much about it. I listened to Brother James Young when we were in there, and I listened to his energy and his youthfulness. And then here's the old man behind the desk, leaning back in my recliner with my legs crossed, thinking, you know what, man, this is exciting. And he knows it. Don't get me wrong. He knows it. But I know it in a way he doesn't know it yet. So let me just look at you and say, God's got all this. And I mean, he's got everything that's going on in your life. He's got it all. And if he makes a promise, take it to the bank. It might not happen when you thought it was going to happen or the way you thought it was going to happen. But if he's made you a promise, let me tell you something, you can take it to the bank. So just trust him. Here's the word, live by faith. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you'd just help all of us, dear Lord. Everybody's at a different time in their life. And Lord, we're all trying to stay in your will, and we're all trying to understand your will, and we're all trying to not get ahead and not drag behind. So, Lord, we all need your help. Thank you for Brother Abraham. He wouldn't have never figured it all out if he'd have stayed put. Thank you that even when you would not tell him where he was willing to go, he was called. That's all he knew, is that God had called him. And he said something about a city. And then, Lord, thank you that when he got there, and I think probably it wasn't all that he thought maybe it was going to be, he just said, if this is where God wants me, then I'm going to let God worry about all the details. I'm just going to stay here and raise my son and bless my grandchildren and put it all in God's hand. And Lord, the honest truth is, every one of us come to this world, and sometimes we forget all that you've done before us and all that you're going to do after us. And it seems like we want to see everything started and completed in our time here. And yet, Lord, you have such a bigger plan. And I think, Lord, at this point, I just want to be a part of whatever your plan is, whatever part of it you want me to be a part of, whatever you want me to do in the process of your will being done on this earth, Lord, then just help me to be obedient and trusting and do what you want me to do. Now, Lord, bless the lives of our people here. We want to be faith walkers, Lord. We want to be, Lord, those that stepped out by faith. We're willing to step out by faith and to trust you and obey you and do what you've called us to do, Lord. We ask that you help us, Lord, even with our frailties, we pray in Jesus' name.